Turn with me in the book of Exodus, chapter 33, and I'll read verses 12 through 23. Exodus 33, verses 12 through 23. Hear God's word. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, 'I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight.' Now therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going up with us, so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth?" The Lord says to Moses, "I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name." Then Moses said, "I pray you, show me your glory." And he said, "I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live." Then the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about, while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." Last week, earlier in this chapter, the Lord commanded Moses, directed him to go up with the people and enter into that promised land. And he lists the various benefits, the blessings that they will enjoy in that land. But he tells Moses his presence will not go with them. But we saw then just in the previous passage how Moses enjoyed that communion with God. It speaks of that communion face to face. And I have to point out that that word for face appears quite a bit, not only at the end of that previous passage, but through our passage as well. And I'll try to point that out. So the Lord says, "Take the people up. I will not go. You go into that land, enjoy the blessings, but my presence will not go." And in the meantime, Moses, in a tabernacle, not the tabernacle, but in the tabernacle outside of the camp, he enjoys this fellowship with God. He enters the tent, the theophanic cloud, the theophany of God in that cloud, stands then at the presence or in the entrance of that tent, and Moses and the Lord have communion together, fellowship, where it is said that there is a speaking of the Lord to Moses face to face, just as a man speaks to his friend. Now, the issue of God's presence is pressing upon Moses. He does not want to go up to the land without that presence. He knows the presence means forgiveness. And God still has not assured Moses or his people that he has forgiven them of the idolatry of that golden bull. So Moses seeks the Lord in prayer. Seeks the Lord in prayer, not on his behalf so much. We see him fulfilling that office of mediator. He prays for the Lord's presence on behalf of the people. Now, he himself enjoys that communion. We see that in verse 11, face to face, like two friends speaking together. And Moses would desire that, not only for himself, but for the people as well. And that kind of fellowship and communion is spoken of through our passage much. There is the language of knowing. Moses says to the Lord, "You say to me, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name." Verse 13. "I pray if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you, so that I might find favor in your sight." And we could go on, I think, in six verses, there are five references to this knowing. A word that speaks really of a very close communion. In fact, the language of the entire passage, this knowing, this finding favor, which is repeated again and again, this finding grace in the sight of the Lord, and the emphasis upon the face, is language that is sometimes used in a marriage relationship between a husband and a wife. Earlier in the passage, it was like as a friend speaks to a fellow friend face to face. So Moses enjoys this, and his desire is that this fellowship, this communion, this presence with God might not only be enjoyed by himself, but for the people as well. And as he fulfills that office of a mediator, that spirit within him desires and longs, yearns and seeks for a reconciliation between Yahweh and his people. Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:2 speaks about a union between Moses and the people. "All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea," Paul says. So there's not only this wonderful fellowship and communion, this union that Moses has with the Lord, this fellowship, this knowing one another, and the Lord knowing Moses and knowing his name and finding favor in the sight of the Lord, and Moses responding with a greater desire to know and having this fellowship face to face as mediator, united with the people, desires that reconciliation between God and the people. And then last, he knows the futility that if God does not go up, they might enjoy all of the blessings of the promised land, but those blessings will be in vain. The true blessing, as the Lord says to Abraham very, very early on, several generations before, "I am your great reward." Now, in our text, there are basically three petitions. Moses comes before the Lord and he presents petitions and argumentation and various reasons why he pleads for the presence of God. And then God responds three different times. So let's look at the text together. Moses says, beginning in verse 12, you say to bring the people up. You yourself have not let me know who will go with me, who you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name. I have also found favor in your sight. Here's the petition, verse 13. I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways. Now look at the various connectives there. The petition, if I have found favor, let me know your ways in order that I might know you, so that I might find favor in your sight. And so he asks the Lord that he might have a greater knowledge of him, a greater knowledge of who he is, how he works among his people, how he will lead them. And it's a prayer, really, for greater assurance. Let me know your ways so that I might find favor in your sight. It's interesting. That's the basis upon which he approaches God. You have said to me, I have known you by name. You have also found favor in my sight. And so now I ask you, let me know your way so that I might find favor in your sight. It's a greater assurance that Moses is seeking. He's asking the Lord that the Lord might reveal himself more to him in order that that grace that he's assured of might be driven home, might be made deeper, that that assurance that he has of God's favor and grace might be further realized in his life. And then I have to point out, too, that in each of these prayers, he asks the Lord for himself, that I might know your ways, that I might know you, that I might find favor, greater favor, more favor, deeper grace in relation to you. And then consider that these are your people as well. So he not only asks for this knowledge of God, that he might know the Lord, that he might lead the people, that he might have greater assurance, but that the Lord might be gracious to his people as well. The Lord responds. Verse 14, my presence shall go with you. And literally, it's my face. My face shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said, well, that's the Lord responding in verse 14. My presence, my face shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Now, there's a difficulty in the text. I want you to note, if you have the New American Standard, the very italicized words that are given. Verse 14, the Lord responds, my presence, my face shall go with you in the singular. And it is in the singular. And I will give you rest. And then look at verse 15. Then Moses says, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. And so the way the New American Standard is translating this is, the Lord is saying to Moses, I know your name, you have found favor, and my presence will go with you specifically, Moses, you. And I will give you specifically, I will give you individually, I will give you rest. Moses then responds, if your presence does not go with us all, then do not lead us up from here. In the Dutch translation, and some of the Dutch commentators put a question mark. They believe that the Lord responds with a question in verse 14, that he's not specifically responding to Moses. My presence will go with you specifically, Moses, and I will give you specifically rest. But rather, this is a question, and it's he responds to Moses' request that Moses might know his ways, that he might find favor in his sight. The Lord responds, shall my presence go with you? And shall I give you rest? And not being so specific to Moses, but including the people as well. Others are saying that the Lord is responding to Moses that he will go with him as representative of the people. And what he is saying in this response is that indeed, now, his presence will go with the people. He relents. He's no longer taking that hard stand. There is a beginning of greater grace being demonstrated not only to Moses, but also to the people. And so you could ask, well, then why in verse 15 that does Moses make this statement, if your presence does not go up with us, do not lead us up from here? It could very well be that he's seeking for greater assurance. He begins to argue, he begins to press the Lord. If your presence does not go up with us all, do not lead us. He knows the futility that if the Lord does not go up with them, the blessings will be futile. Greater assurance, verse 16, for how can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by going up with us so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from other people who are upon the face of the earth? And so Moses reasons, really presses, we could say, humbly argues with the Lord. that there might be a greater assurance. You have said that your presence will go up. If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up, implying, yes, make your presence known to us, lead us, be with us. For how can it be known that we belong to you and that you belong to us unless your presence is with us? And so the Lord responds, I will do this thing of which you have spoken. Now look at the language again. You have found favor in my sight, and I've known you by name. This tremendous emphasis on the Lord of knowing Moses, finding favor in his sight, finding grace. This language is used often in a husband finding delight in his wife, or in the wife finding pleasure in her husband. This idea of being attracted to one another, finding pleasure and delight in each other. This is the language that is used. You have found favor in my sight. You have found grace in my sight. I am delighted in you, Moses, and I have known you so well, I know your name. The stress of that fellowship, the depth of that communion, continuing to assure Moses that because of that communion and fellowship that the Lord has with him, he will be gracious to all of his people. And so there's not only assurance, but there is reassurance. Now there's one more request that Moses makes. In verse 18, then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. The language is somewhat related to not only the presence of the Lord, but his face. In fact, later the Lord will say, no man can see my face and live. And again, that emphasis on the fellowship and communion and Moses speaking with the Lord face to face. That was described for us earlier. And this rich language of favor and grace and delighting and being attracted to one another and knowing each other's name and knowing each other's ways and all of this fellowship. And now Moses asks, let me see your glory. And that is, let me see your glory as it is revealed in your face in accordance with your essence of who you really are. And so that fellowship of face-to-face communion that Moses has shared has been through theophany, through various representations. It's not as though Moses saw the literal face of God. Language is being used, we could say anthropomorphic, human language. Moses is saying, let me see your essence. Let me see you for who you really are. Imagine Yahweh. Imagine seeing God. Now, earlier on, the elders and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu with Moses, it was said, where was that? In Exodus 29, was it? Wherever, where they met with the Lord on the mountain, and the language is they saw God. But what they saw was the sapphire under his feet and something of a vision of God, but not God in his essence. This is very, very rich language that's used throughout this passage, my friends. The Lord continues to assure and reassure Moses of his grace, of his mercy, of his knowing him and knowing him in the most intimate of ways. And Moses desiring a greater knowledge, not only for himself, but for the people. And God is saying, yes, yes, I will go. My presence will go. My face will go with you. And now Moses asks that question about even penetrating into the very essence of the Godhead, let me see your face. And the Lord says, no one can see my face and live. Look at how he assures him. He says, I will make my goodness pass before you. Here are all the concessions he will do. I will make my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim my name before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will even take you, Moses, and hide you in the cleft of the rock, and my own hand will hide you, and my glory will pass by, and I will then release my hand, and you will see my back, but you cannot see my face. No man can see my face and live. So, the Lord gives many, many concessions. He tries to get as close as he possibly can to what Moses asks of him. Let me see your glory. And there is much that the Lord will reveal to Moses. But no man can see the essence of God and live. Just some thoughts. Moses' request to see the glory of God, that is, the face of God, that is, his essential character as God, is not granted. Will not be granted until many generations later. And even then, we will not see the essence of God. But the request will be granted as far as the Lord possibly can, not only with these concessions, but himself becoming a man and living among us. I think it was a couple of years ago, in a Christmas sermon, I preached from John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And it's John Owen who makes this comment that in the incarnation, God, the living God, Yahweh, has drawn as close as he possibly can to his people, to his creatures. And he, forever uniting himself with human nature, tabernacling among us, is moving history to that place when he will dwell with us forever. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known, Jesus. Philip to Jesus, show us the Father. As Jesus says, I go to the Father, I will leave you. Philip says, show us the Father, and it suffices. And Jesus says, oh, Philip, have I not been so long with you? He who has seen me has seen the Father. And so Moses' request is granted. There are all these concessions that the Lord gives to him, and yet it is as though this request remains for the generations to come, until the coming of Jesus Christ. And John assures us all that one day, perhaps soon, we shall all see him face to face. That language again. Face to face. And we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And so we have a wonderful fulfillment, answer to this prayer. We have seen the glory of God, and we see his glory in the face of Jesus Christ. And so Paul, for us who are still not beholding Christ face to face, yet in the gospel, he says, we do behold the glory of God in the face of Christ as he's ministered to us in the gospel. Second thought is the role of the mediator. You see Moses praying, and he's praying for his own deepening assurance that the Lord will go with him, and not just for his benefit, but for the sake of the people. But you note how in each of the requests he continues to try to bring in the people. Verse 13, consider too that this is your nation, that first request. Then that second request, for how then can it be known? I have found favor in your sight. I and your people have found favor. You see how he rather subtly extends the favor and the grace of God, not only for himself, but for his people. And fulfilling that role of a mediator, interceding and praying, not
only for his behalf, but for behalf of the people, on behalf of the people. My friends, we have a greater mediator in our Savior Jesus Christ. The writer to the Hebrews says that he continues to intercede for us in order that we might persevere, and in persevering that we might know the ways of God. We have a far superior mediator praying for us, each one, and Christ in his divinity as our high priest knows each of us by name and is able to bring each of us in prayer before the Father. And you can be assured of the efficacy of that prayer. We are assured that we will endure and remain steadfast unto everlasting life, not by virtue of our own piety, not by virtue of our own merit, not by the things that we can do on behalf of God. We will persevere, not because we've made some resolution, not because even of our own repentance and faith. We will persevere ultimately by the unconditional grace of God as it's exhibited for us in the intercession of our mediator, Jesus Christ. That prayer on your behalf is heard. And that prayer is what upholds you, and it's in that prayer that we find all assurance and security for everlasting life. Jesus is your mediator, prays, intercedes in a way far greater than Moses. There is a face-to-face communion that Moses had, but not quite in the essence of God. It's Jesus, the Son of God, who knows the essence of the Father. He knows the face of the Father and is able to bring his petitions in that fellowship, communion, that rich love, glory, and honor that they have shared from eternity past now to eternity future. In that fellowship, in that communion, in that relationship, Jesus brings us into that circle by virtue of his prayers, and those prayers are heard. You are assured, as Moses is uncertain, and he continues to ask, if I have found favor, let me find favor. If I have found grace, let me find grace. And he continues to drive that request in order that the assurance might be deepened for him. Ultimately, let me see your glory. This is what will ultimately assure me that your presence will go with me and your people. Well, we have a mediator who knows that assurance because he is the Son of the Father. And by virtue of that relationship that Jesus has, without the need of an assurance that Moses longed for, we can be assured of that love and grace, that favor and communion, that presence of God among us. Last, I would think that Moses would provide an example, not only for the people of God in that generation, but for us as well. That there are times where we do lack assurance, and we should seek it. One of the Puritans referred to the kind of infallible assurance that saints have enjoyed and really is a responsibility that we have to secure for ourselves. He referred to it as heaven on earth. And the way in which such assurance is gained is by seeking God and seeking him in prayer. And so as Moses would not let the Lord rest and continued to petition and draw close to him, not only in regards to his mediation, not only in responsibility towards the people of God, but that assurance for himself, he continues to seek the Lord. And you see the gracious disposition of God. He continues from that first request. He grants, my presence, my face will go with you, and you have found favor in my sight. Moses asks again, and the Lord says, what you ask, I will do. My presence will go with you. You have found favor in my sight. I have known your name. And then that third request, let me see your glory. Well, I can't do that. No man can see my essence. No man can see my face in that way and live, but I will make my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim my name to you. You will even see my backside. You will see as much of my glory as you possibly can. And so for us, the Lord answers prayer. The Lord's disposition towards us is the same as it was with Moses. We need that security, that kind of assurance, to know that God is not just familiar with us, but that we have found favor, that He knows each of us by name, that He loves us with an everlasting love, and it's His desire to dwell with us. We gain that assurance, recognizing the promises, and to be sure those promises are yea and amen in Christ. God is with you. Now for that subjective certainty, that sense of God's presence, that being supported and encouraged, finding comfort and security, assurance, what the confession would say, infallible assurance, can be, really should be ours as His children. God's disposition towards you is to grant that. Now we seek it. He would have us seek it by prayer, and He will answer our prayer. As surely as He answers the prayers of His Son, our mediator, Jesus Christ, He will answer yours. Let's pray together.